The reading this morning is taken from two passages in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25, 8 to 14, and Jeremiah 29, 10 to 14. Therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north, and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, declares the Lord, and I will bring them against this land and its inhabitants, and against all the surrounding nations. I will completely destroy them and make them an object of horror and scorn and an everlasting ruin. I will banish from them the sounds of joy and gladness, the voices of bride and bridegroom, the sounds of millstones and the light of the lamp. This whole country will become a desolate wasteland, and these nations will serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. But when the 70 years are fulfilled, I will punish the king of Babylon and his nation, the land of the Babylonians, for their guilt, declares the Lord, and will make it desolate forever. I will bring upon that land all the things I have spoken against it, all that are written in this book and prophesied by Jeremiah against all the nations. They themselves will be enslaved by many nations and great kings. I will repay them according to their deeds and the work of their hands. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile.
Nick, I just want to pray for our dear pastor. Lord God, I do thank you for Nick. I thank you for his love that he has for all of us. And I thank you for all the time that he's put into this talk. And I pray that you would help us to respond. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would bring your word to our hearts. You will interpret it for us and help Nick to have the words to say that will change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Cheers. Morning again. Can I get the PowerPoint on that one as well? Is that all right? Thank you. Oh, excuse. So, I don't know how you're doing. Blinded. No, you're frozen. Is it no. Lovely. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. But I'll carry on, because I'm a professional. No. So, anyway, so this morning we're picking up on our series, Experience a Better Story, the fact that the Bible and Experience a Better Story. And this morning we're picking up on the section titled Exile and Peace. Exile and Peace. Can you say that?
Exile and Peace.
Brilliant. When you think about the word peace, what comes to your mind? You can say peace or calmness. I mean, you know, have a think, tranquility, right? What comes to mind? Sorry?
Not war.
Not war. Okay.
A beach.
A beach. Okay. There's no correct answers. Okay. You can. Nature. Okay. Perhaps when I say that, you think about the reduction of noise. If you're a parent, perhaps you think the time after 8 p.m. or whenever it is when the children are finally in bed asleep. If you get to having children that are in their teenage years, it's the bit you go to bed and they're still up. Perhaps you think it's a time when you have a relaxing, luxurious bath with candles and whatever else you want to do. Perhaps, as we've heard, the war, it is this time when it's the end of violence. For me, whenever I consider the word peace, can you click it on? Just click it on one. This picture, hopefully it's going to come up, comes to mind. It's a picture with... There's a storm and there's a waterfall and it's like it's lots of noise, lots of stuff happening. But if you look closely at it, at the picture, right in the middle, there is a bird on a nest. Right in the centre. If you focus in on the middle, you can just about see it. There is a bird sitting on the nest in amongst the waterfall. And actually, that picture was created and titled Peace. Because really, what peace isn't about, with everything, when the kids have gone to bed and stuff like that. Peace realistically is when everything, even when stuff is happening, when there is noise, when you still have peace. So for me, that is it. You may even think about the Hebrew understanding of the word peace, which is shalom. To live with inner and outer peace. A combination of the environment and the human relationship being one. Before I carry on, it's important to acknowledge that for many people, a desire for peace is ever present. In our world today, people are looking for peace. They're looking for just to be calm. And we know this you can see that on search history. People searching for well-being, things like that. People are looking for peace. Earlier, with everyone, we looked at this calm rating. What is your calm rating today? In your life, what's going on? Where are you at? For some of us sitting in this room, maybe we're on a 2. For others of us, we're at 7. And maybe some of us I'm on 11. Because you can't rate it, can you, really? For each of us, this may be very different, as I said, depending on what we're dealing with currently. Even considering the list of things we shared, there were people that was, I'm a 1, and others were 5. If we looked at heights, for me, that's not a calm place for me. Whereas others, lovely, being on top of a mountain would be great. That wouldn't be great for me. Often we experience unease, a lack of calmness, and it comes when we are perhaps dealing with situations in life. And I know some of us are dealing with some really tough things at the moment. Maybe starting a new job, moving house, getting married, having children. They're often listed as they're the top 4 or 5 things that cause stress in people's lives. And the problem is often it's like you don't just get one of them. It's usually you've got a move and a this. When we moved here 10 years ago, it was a bit stressful because Sharon was still having to work down in the New Forest because we moved just after she wasn't able. I got called here after the cut-off for handing in your notice at school. So she had to do a half-term? Yeah, sort of thing, travelling. But it meant that I was then left with Esther, which is fine. She's a great child. She's over there, I think, on the left. She's going to go, embarrassing. But we had to deal with some stressful things without Sharon, and because of just having to get into the community and things like that. So actually, stress levels went really high. Today, as we continue to consider experiencing a better story, we're picking up this idea of exile and peace. So as we continue to move through the Bible, so far we've spent time looking at origins. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the people of God experiencing the Exodus. And that was about 1300 BC. They were lifted out of slavery and received freedom. And it's like, great, wonderful, super duper. But then over the next period, we see how though God brings them into freedom, provides them with everything, they begin to lose their way. Have you ever done that? You ever begin to lost your way? Their focus was sort of taken off of God. In taking their focus off of God, they begin to miss the target. That's a life that not only honours God, but they stop being obedient to his laws. They become unsettled, begin to spiral downwards. They go, oh, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. And he does. And then they start off all right. And then they sort of, oh, they get back into their old ways. And then it's back to, oh, I'm sorry, God. And they repeat that cycle. They drift again. It's a bit like, I don't know, my brother likes sailing. And so when we're in Norfolk on the Broads, we go with him, Sharon. I mean, we've been with him a couple of times. And you've got the tiller, which is the bit at the back, and it's connected to the rudder. And you're meant to keep your eye on where you're going and sort of like steer like that. Now, the problem is, unless you keep your eye there, if I look there, I'm going to end up going there because my focus is there rather than where I should be going. Or if you let go of the tiller completely, then the rudder's like, oh, does this thing? You move off target. And he's quite good at that, keeping on target, because he sails a lot. I don't sail. I get distracted. Oh, look at that bird over there. And next thing, oh, we're in the ditch. Not in the ditch, in the rushes on the side. In response to their repeated disobedience, God, we'll see, allows his people in about 600 BC to be taken into exile. Jerusalem, the holy city, destroyed. If you're reading this, and I hope you are, I think a lot of you are, in accompanying the series and our life group notes, there's seven smaller bits in this section. And it sort of fits into that period between the Exodus and exile. So it's worth picking up and reading those things. There's seven little chapters, one a day, with a reflection point and a Bible reading. And it's worth a read. Definitely worth a read. And it's helping you then picture in this Exodus to exile section. And each of those ones are sort of revealing this theme of peace. So Exodus, it wasn't like a just down the road thing. You can look at the map. It was a long way. And they didn't like have buses that shipped them. They had to walk it. Traumatic. Being taken from the place you love, where your God was. You know, the fact that their temple's been destroyed, they'll be going, well, what's going? That was God's home. That was where he was. That was where he dwelled. Oh, there we go. So we're looking at this time of exile when the nation of Israel is taken to Babylon. I want to suggest that this exile is a theme that's repeated. If we look back at the origin story, see Adam and Eve, what happens there? They are removed from their original home. Eden, they were removed, placed out of it. The Garden of Eden, a place of shalom, peace. Then this repeated with the people of Israel, as we're going to see now. They go into exile. They're taken into Babylon for 70 years. But actually, this theme is still it's repeated now. In our own lives today. For, I don't know about you, but people searching for fulfillment, seeking to have just completeness. to have peace. And it gets filled with substitutes, distractions, which in the end don't satisfy. There's this thing, when I was young, you know, the God-shaped hole. And you'd fill it with stuff. And it might last a little bit. You might be satisfied for 2, 3, 4 weeks. But after a while, you just get, oh, it's just not there anymore. We experience storms in our lives that rob us of our peace. They rob us of our peace. And even, but we're quite good at covering it, aren't we? Putting on a face. How you doing? Fine. Doing all right. But underneath, we've been robbed. We're broken. But we've got a Prince of Peace in our lives. But it doesn't stop us being robbed as well, does it? We can lose focus, get distracted, and end up retreating into ourselves. When in fact, what we should be doing is the opposite. We should be drawing closer to God and drawing closer to the community that we are part of, this faith community. Because that's what the church is about, supporting one another. And the problem is we're British, so we're not very good at opening up, being open with somebody, even somebody that we know. So my hope is nothing else this morning is that we today will discover that whatever the storm, whatever's going on, we are in a place where there is peace. And you might go, I can't do that. I can guarantee, even within the toughest storm, there is peace because God is in it with you. He is. You may feel abandoned, but he's not. That old footstep sand, you know, with the things, at those points, he's carrying you. He is giving and offering peace. I think I've got my slides slightly wrong. Oh, no. Yes, I have. Anyway. In our passages today, we see God speaks about the unfaithfulness of his people. And then he goes, so I'm going to get a servant of mine to come and do something. What do you mean, a servant of yours? Nebuchadnezzar, he's not part of the people. He's not your servant. But what he's saying is actually, I will use who I want to use to enact what I need to happen. He uses King Nebuchadnezzar to put the people into exile. Jeremiah relays it, and he says, therefore, the Lord Almighty says this, because you have not listened to my words, I will summon all the peoples of the north and my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. But it fits in with the words, if you look back at chapter 1, if you jump back to the beginning of Jeremiah, in verses 5 and 10, it talks about the fact that the God of the nations, God is not just the God of Israel, but of all people. And we have to remember that. There are the people in the community, they're his people as much as we are. They just don't know that they're his. But, you know, he died for them, not just for us. So actually, they are his people. They just need to, they haven't acknowledged him yet. So therefore, we should be thankful that he often carries out his purpose of love and good, even through those who do not acknowledge him. In this time, the people would have been unsettled, taking it into unfamiliar place. If you were forced out of your home and carted off, how would you feel? Come on. Sorry? Upset. Unsettled. Scared. Sad. You would, yeah. There's a discombi. What's that really big word? Thank you. You're not there. It's, yeah. Potentially, for the majority of the people who were in exile, it would have been very unsettling, unnerving, a time of upheaval. Because they would have thought, well, where's God in it? Where's God in this? What are we going to happen? But Jeremiah goes on. So as the nation is taken to Babylon to a time of exile, from their lands, potentially their peace is robbed. Yet God encourages them to settle in and find peace through encouraging them to establish themselves. He says, actually, settle into this new place and work hard. In fact, because then in 70 years' time, things will change. He will restore the people back to their land. So even in the time of exile, though God brought this about, he also sought to offer them a glimpse of something to come, a hint of hope. That even in the exile, even in that storm, peace was available. Perhaps you are feeling like you are in a period of exile. Your situation is tough, overwhelming. We need to follow the example of those we find in this period. Daniel. We need to be like him, to remain faithful to God and get stuck into where we find ourselves to be. Daniel, I'm going to follow God. Just because I'm not where I am, I'm going to do what I do. I'm going to observe him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to pray. Even if they're telling me you can't pray, I'm praying. You know, where he could, he helped and he worked within the community, but he was not going to lose his God. He was not going to do that. Which cost him, potentially, they were saying, right, we're going to chuck you in the lions then. Your life's going to go. But amazingly, he gets thrown in. He survives. That would have been an amazing thing to have been in there watching. Because they basically chucked him in, sealed it up. Now these lions probably would have been starving hungry because they're not, it's like, I don't know how often they threw people in there, but it's not like lions in the zoo who get regular field meal times. They could have been ravenous. They would have jumped on him, but they didn't. But my favourite one is the Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. I am in awe. I'm in awe of them. And even if he doesn't, what an example. They're in exile and they're doing it and saying, no, you've got to bow before this big, big statue. No. If you don't do it, you're going to get into the furnace. And in fact, the poor guys who were stoking it up, making it hotter and hotter, got burnt up. And they get thrown in. Even if he isn't, or even not, we're going to do it. In a period of exile. That is, what an example of faith and peace beyond peace. Are you like that in your storms at the moment? Are you like, even if you're not there, God, I'm still going to believe in you. I'm still going to weather this storm. I find that tough. And I'm a minister. I had a time when we experienced some storms. But just because you love Jesus doesn't mean you're not going to get any storms in your life. If you think that, then you need to come and have a chat. Please come and have a chat, because actually that's not... Saying you love Jesus and having him in your life doesn't exempt you from all issues and worries and problems. And I know that there are many people in this room who would testify to that. Yet, even though we can still have peace in our periods of exile, even though. What's your takeaway? Sharon commented to me as I stood down from doing the all-age bit. Yeah, taking deep breaths, but you can actually pray in those deep breaths. And I read a book once. Actually, I've read many books. Told you, 10 for me reading a book. No, but I read a book once, and it was talking about just in your breath. If you breathe, go. If you listen, it sounds like Yahweh. In your breath, you are actually declaring the name of God. So when you are experiencing stress, experiencing unsettledness, be mindful. Just concentrate on your breath. Sharon was saying about the Lord's my shepherd.
You can have breath prayers.
Breath prayers. Okay. So there, you can take that away this morning. And actually, you may have other things. You may have techniques yourself, or you might have to, actually, when I have this, this is what I do. The problem is, when it comes to a problem, if not careful, we can just retreat. When we face a storm, we retreat. And that's not what God wants. God wants you to sort of stand up. Because you've got, he's with you in it. And I've done that. I used to do that illustration when there's a problem and you can sort of, but actually you work outside. Because God, did you not know that God is bigger than any problem you face? Let's say that together, that God is bigger than any problem I face. He is. He is. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He is bigger than this. I know that this is what I'm saying. I know, but you're not in it. I am. I live life just like you. I can look around the room and I know that there are people facing, and so it's a bit uncomfortable to talk, but just to give you encouragement, say, even in those tough times, please, please, please cling to God. Cling to that life ring. Don't let it go. Cling to it. And it means you've got to cling harder. You cling harder. Because it may not bring it to an end then, but at some point it will. Don't we? We go to bed at night reassured to know that the morning is going to come. Those dark times, they may be here, but at some point it will end. That tunnel, you go into it, there is a light at the end. Eventually you will get to it. And peace is found in exile. Peace is found in exile. A truth that we need to remember. I've got a card that I've sort of made, and it's got some scripture on there. It's from Isaiah. I just realised I've not written Isaiah on the card, but there we go. And it says this, Jacob, the Lord created you, Israel, he made you. And now he says, don't be afraid. I saved you. I named you. You are mine. When you have troubles, I am with you. When you cross rivers, you will not be hurt. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not hurt you. That's because I, the Lord, am your God. I, the Holy One of Israel, am your Savior. I gave Egypt to pay for you. I gave Ethiopia and Seba to make you mine. You are precious to me, and I have given you a special place of honor. I love you. That's why I am willing to trade others to give you up whole nations to save your life. So don't be afraid, because I am with you. I will gather your children and bring them to you. I will gather them from the east and from the west. I will tell the north, give my people to me. I will tell the south, don't keep my people in prison. Bring my sons and daughters to me from the faraway places. Bring to me all the people who are mine, the people who have my name. I made them for myself. I made them, and they are mine. Thank you. Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. I thought it was something that I want you to take away and to maybe in the morning or whenever, just read it. Because Scripture speaks. It encourages. You see, God is always with us, even when we feel he's not. I'm going to close with a prayer, which I heard this morning, and it's going to be on the screen. And the last bit is in bold, so I'd like you to join me in reading the last little bit. Let us pray. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God, for it is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy at all times and in all places to give thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Thank you for listening and joining me this morning. If you would want to receive some peace, if you feel, actually, I'm drowning and I need someone to pray with me, we have a prayer ministry team. If you're experiencing exile and you just need someone to stand with me, we will pray with you.